Good morning, and welcome to Lighthouse Bible Church. I know you're probably surprised to see me up here again, and I am too. Anyway, Pastor John had a minor setback, and he's back in the hospital with a thing called pneumothorax, which evidently is something that's fairly common in traumatic and injuries, and also possibly with the surgery that he had, where it's like your lung, you get air pressure in your chest, and you can't really expand your lung as good as you should. So he told me, I spoke with him this morning, he said they were thinking that he's going to get out today, but, you know, we don't know for sure. So let's keep him in prayer. And so I'll be giving you a short message that hopefully you'll find interesting. Anyway, let's open in prayer. Father, thank you today for all the many blessings you have provided for us. Most importantly, for sending your only Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to pay for the sins of all mankind and provide the gift of eternal life to those who simply believe and trust in Jesus. Father, please continue Pastor John's recovery quickly and bring him back to full vigor. And please heal our hearts and bless all of us today as we seek to learn more about your grace and your plan for our life through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And since we don't have any singers today, I'm going to sing a little. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, we don't have a song service. We have several singers out on injured reserve, and one is out of town, and so we didn't want to force Joyce to do it all by herself. So anyway, announcement-wise, there's a guest book in the lobby if you would like to sign in, as well as a prayer box and prayer request forms that you can fill out if you want us to pray for you on Thursday evenings when we have informal Bible study. We also have a young Christians group that meets at 6 p.m. on Mondays. Please raise your hand if you don't have a Bible. I think everybody has a Bible. So, as most of you know, we feature each month a different missionary organization, and this month it's Basic Training Bible Ministries. And there's that's their website up there. And it's Gene and Nan Cunningham started this and still run it, although they have some helpers now. They're based in Prescott Valley, Arizona, and they go all over the world to India and Peru, Australia, Papua New Guinea, and other countries that I can't mention because it's unsafe for them to be a Christian there. But they go there anyway, so God has protected them so far. Anyway, they've been doing it for years. Keep them in prayer, and if you want to donate, you can go on their website and find out how to do that, or you can write a check to them and put it in the box, and we'll get it to them. Okay, so today's message is The Amazing Kinsman Redeemer. On Thursdays, which a lot of you know because you come there, we've been studying and discussing the book of Ruth. For those of you that have missed, you've missed a great story of love and devotion, of loyalty and kindness, integrity and honor, and of the Lord's working all things to good for those who love him. Summarizing the book briefly so as not to bore any of you that have studied the book on Thursdays, we begin with the story of Naomi. Naomi journeyed with her husband and two sons from Israel, where they lived in Bethlehem of Judah. They journeyed to the land of Moab due to a famine in the land of Israel. Shortly after arriving there, her husband, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died. Her sons, Mahlon and Chilion, married Moabite women Ruth and Orpah. They lived there around 10 years, and then both the sons of Naomi died, leaving all three women as widows. If you get a chance, read the book of Ruth. It's really short. It doesn't take long, and it's a great, great story. They lived there around 10 years, and Naomi's sons died, leaving all three women as widows. And Ruth, being very devoted to her mother-in-law, Naomi, stuck with her as she returned to Bethlehem in Judea, her homeland. Upon arriving there, Ruth went to glean, which is picking up the leftovers of the grain after the barley harvest. And while doing this, she met a man named Boaz, who was a wealthy landowner and a farmer, and was also a relative of Naomi, and so also of Ruth, although she did not know it at this time. There was a custom among the Israelites that was part of God's covenant to Israel that provided for a relative to be a redeemer of the widow of a family member. And if you turn in your Bibles to Leviticus 25 and verse 25, we can get a little background on that custom. So Leviticus 25 and verse 25. If a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor that he has to sell part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and buy back what his relative has sold. Well, that verse doesn't exactly describe the situation, but the interpretation of that is that the nearest kinsman, is supposed to help the family member that gets in trouble. So Naomi, being a widow, had an inheritance back in Judah, and so she was, of course, women weren't allowed to own property back then, so someone had to buy her property from her, and that's where the Redeemer comes in. In addition to that, if you turn to Deuteronomy 25, verse 5, there was another command that God had given to the Israelites, and basically it was that if someone died without an heir and the wife was still alive, the brother of the person was commanded to marry the widow and create offspring to carry on the family name. So Elimelech died, and his sons would have been heirs, but the sons died also, and therefore both Naomi and Ruth needed a redeemer. So in Deuteronomy 25 and verse 5, when brothers live together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the deceased shall not be married outside the family to a strange man. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her to himself as wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. It shall be that firstborn whom she bears shall assume the name of the dead brother, so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. So anyway, that's basically the concept of beginning of the concept of the kinsman redeemer as told to us in Ruth. When Ruth becomes close to Boaz, and he understands that there is a responsibility to redeem Naomi's property as well as Ruth, he explains to her the protocol that must be followed in this case. And that's in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 12, if you want to look at that. So Ruth chapter 3 and verse 12. Now, it is true, I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. This is Boaz speaking. Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. So the next morning in Ruth 4, verse 3, flipping over there, this is Boaz speaking again. Then he said to the closest relative, Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you. And he said, I will redeem it. This is the other guy, the closer relative. Well, in verse 5, then Boaz said, on the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance. The closest relatives then said, oops, I cannot redeem it for myself because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have the right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and exchange of land to confirm any matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another, and this was the attestation of in Israel. So the closest relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, and he removed his sandal. And the rest of the story of Ruth continues that Boaz redeems the land for Naomi, and as she is beyond childbearing age, the only way to provide an heir is to continue the line of Elimelech for Boaz to marry Ruth. And Boaz goes ahead and does this, and they have a son, Obed, who will be of the line of David and also of the line of Christ. And this is recorded in Matthew chapter 1 and verses 1 to 16, where you get the whole line of Christ. And specifically in verse 5 and 6, where it tells us in verse 5, Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David the king. So that's the short version of how Obed became the line of Christ. So Ruth and Boaz were both part of the line of Christ, and bringing Ruth out of the land of Moab into Israel and getting her into the line of Christ was certainly part of God's plan to bring another Gentile into the line of Christ. So the fact that Boaz acted here as the kinsman redeemer is why he is one of those which is called a type of Christ. But the consideration of Jesus in this book of Ruth doesn't begin with the mention of King David. Jesus has been throughout the whole book as pictured by Boaz and the office of kinsman redeemer. From eternity, God planned to bring Ruth and Boaz together and thus make Bethlehem the entrance point for the coming of Jesus as our true kinsman redeemer, fully God and fully man. While the story in the book of Ruth has many great lessons and examples of virtue, today we will look at the subject of the kinsman redeemer in the Bible. Now, Baker's Evangelical Dictionary defines the kinsman redeemer as a male relative who, according to the various laws found in the Pentateuch, had the privilege of responsibility to act for a relative who was in trouble, danger, or in need of vindication. And we're going to see what a lot of those things, how they actually play out. The BibleGateway.com dictionary defines the kinsman redeemer as the relative who restores or preserves the full community rights of disadvantaged family members. The concept arises from God's covenant relationship with Israel and points to the redemption of humanity in Jesus Christ. As we look at scripture passages in the Old Testament, it is important to remember The primary purpose of the laws and people and stories was to prepare and foretell the coming of the Messiah, who we all know to be Jesus Christ. All of the temple worship rituals were shadow worship of the Messiah, and the kinsman redeemer concept is exactly that, showing examples of Christ as redeemer. The kinsman redeemer's obligation to redeem the land, as we have seen previously in Leviticus 25 through 28, is one of the obligations. The kinsman redeemer also had an obligation to redeem the enslaved. So if we could look at Leviticus 25 and verse 47 through 49, if you want to go there. Leviticus 25, beginning in verse 47. Now if the means of a stranger or sojourner with you becomes sufficient, and a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to him as to sell himself to a stranger who is sojourning with you, or to the descendants of a stranger's family, then he shall have redemption right after he has been sold. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle's son may redeem him, or one of his blood relatives from his family may redeem him, or if he prospers, he may redeem himself. So this concept of buying a relative out of slavery is certainly applicable to what Christ did for us by redeeming us from slavery to sin and death. The kinsman redeemer also had an obligation to provide an heir, as we have seen in Deuteronomy 25, verse 5 through 10. The kinsman redeemer had an obligation to avenge death. In Numbers 35, 16 through 21, and let's go there and read that Numbers. This is an exciting one. In Numbers 35, starting at verse 16. Okay, Numbers 35, 16. But if he struck him down with an iron object so that he died, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. If he struck him down with a stone in the hand by which he will die, and as a result he died, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he struck him with a wooden object in the hand by which he might die, and as a result he died, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. And the blood avenger himself shall put the murderer to death, and he shall put him to death when he meets him. So what they're saying there is that the relative who was the redeemer had also the obligation to avenge the death of his relative. And we'll just go on from there. The kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth, as we have seen in Ruth 3, 12 and 13, and Ruth 4, 3 to 8, certainly was redeeming the property and the progeny of one of their relatives who had died. And there's plenty of passages in the Bible which relates to the Lord as Redeemer. And if we start in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6 and 7. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. I know we're flipping around to a lot of passages today. So keep you guys, you know, fingers moving, all like that. Minds flopping around. Anyway, Exodus 6 and verse 6. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22 through 24, we're really going to flip around now for a little bit. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22. For this reason, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all we have heard with our ears. And what one nation on earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people and make a name for himself and to do a great thing for you and awesome things for your land, because before your people whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. And that's certainly showing us how God had redeemed Israel. And again, all of these stories and commands and things from the Old Testament, all of them really point toward our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Savior. So Isaiah 43 and verse 1. Isaiah 43:1, but now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you my name, by name, you are mine. And again in Isaiah 54 and verse 5, for your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. And one more passage on the Lord as Redeemer in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 33. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 33, thus says the Lord of hosts, the sons of Israel are oppressed, and the sons of Judah as well, and all who took them captive and hold them fast, they have refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong, the Lord of hosts is his name. He will vigorously plead their case so that he may bring rest to the earth, but turmoil to the inhabitants of Babylon. And that was Jeremiah the Lord was talking to Jeremiah about the captivity and how that he would bless and redeem the Jews from their captivity in Babylon. Okay, the kinsman redeemer concept reflects God's concern for the poor and oppressed. In Psalm Psalm chapter 68, verse 5 and 6. We'll go to the Psalms for a little bit, a very little bit. Psalm 68, 5 and 6. Talks about God as a father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows. Is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. And moving forward to Psalm 72, starting with verse 2. Psalm 72, verse 2. May he judge your people with righteousness and your afflicted with justice. Let the mountains bring peace to the people and in the hills in righteousness. May he vindicate the afflicted of the people, save the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. Now we'll look at God's provision of Jesus Christ as kinsman redeemer. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Okay, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So talking about the heirship. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And continuing in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians 3, 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. So Jesus Christ redeems believers from all forms of sinful bondage and oppression through his death and resurrection. The price of that redemption, his own death, represents a ransom paid to secure the freedom of those in bondage to sin. The kinsman redeemer had to be a family member. Jesus added humanity to his eternal deity so that he could be our kinsman and redeem us and save us. The kinsman redeemer had the duty of buying family members out of slavery. Jesus, as we've already seen, Jesus redeemed us from slavery to sin and death. The kinsman redeemer had the duty of buying back land that had been forfeited. And Jesus will redeem the earth that mankind sold over to Satan. Boaz, the rich farmer guy, and Ruth, as kinsman redeemer to Ruth, was not motivated by self-interest, but motivated by love for Ruth, as Jesus' motivation for redeeming us is his great love for us as well. Boaz, as a kinsman redeemer to Ruth, had to have a plan to redeem Ruth unto himself. And some might have thought the plan to be foolish. Jesus had a plan to redeem us, and some might think the plan to be foolish, saving men by dying for them on a cruel cross. Yet the plan works and is glorious. Boaz, as a kinsman redeemer to Ruth, provided a glorious destiny for Ruth. Jesus, as our redeemer, provides a glorious destiny for us as well. Well, it all comes back to the idea of Jesus as our kinsman redeemer. This is why he became a man. God might have sent an angel to save us, but the angel would not have been our kinsman. Jesus, in his eternal glory, without the addition of humanity to his divine nature, might have saved us, but he would have not been our kinsman. A great prophet or priest would be our kinsman, but his own sin would have disqualified him as our Redeemer. Only Jesus, the eternal God who added humanity to his eternal deity, can be both the kinsman and Redeemer of mankind. Keep in mind that much of the Old Testament custom and ritual is foreshadowing Christ. If we go back to Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 4, go ahead and turn there. Not too many more Bible verses to flip to. Well, maybe there is. Isaiah 54, verse 4, describes the beautiful ministry of the Lord as our goel, which is the Hebrew word for kinsman redeemer. Isaiah 54, 4, fear not, for you will not be put to shame, and do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The incarnate God as well as man as Redeemer in Luke 1 and verse 68 and 69. So Luke 1 and verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation in the house of David, his servant. So what does Jesus Christ redeem us from? Well, Jesus Christ redeems believers from slavery to sin. We looked at that briefly before. And in Romans 6, 17 through 18, I know, if you want to lick your fingers so you can turn the pages. Romans, I have them all written down here, so I don't have to turn any pages. Romans 6, 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. And Jesus Christ redeems us from the curse of the law in Galatians 3, chapter 13. I'm sorry, Galatians 3, verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And Christ redeems us from empty religion in 1 Peter 1, verse 18. First Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Jesus redeems us from the power of Satan in Colossians 1:13. Excuse me. Colossians 1:13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And Jesus redeems us from the coming judgment in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. First Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. And Jesus Christ redeems us from death. In 2 Timothy Chapter 1 and verse 10. So, 2 Timothy 1:10, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let's see, I think I'm supposed to be still on this one. Redemption comes only through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, as we've already seen in Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. So Jesus Christ redeems by his sacrificial death in Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. Go to Hebrews 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9, 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So, you know, there he's speaking of the tabernacle and the sacrifices and saying that those were foreshadowing of Christ's coming and Christ's death on the cross. And the final eternal redemption for all of us. And how does Jesus Christ redeem? By paying a ransom in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Jesus redeems believers so that their sins may be forgiven. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, I don't have my Bible here, so I didn't write that verse down, but you could look that up. And Jesus Christ also redeems believers to make them pure. In Titus 2 and verse 14, Jesus Christ redeems believers so that they may receive God's promised blessing. In Galatians 3 and verse 14, and Jesus Christ redeems believers so that they may receive final redemption. In Romans 8:23. So, in closing, Boaz was a kinsman redeemer and pointed the way to the kinsman redeemer of all mankind, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was our true kinsman in his humanity and our true redeemer in his deity, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So as we close our service today, if anyone has not yet believed in Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time to make that decision, because we now know all the things that Christ did for us as our kinsman redeemer and our Savior, and how it was foretold in the Old Testament through the Jewish custom commanded by God with in his covenant, the concept of the kinsman redeemer. We know that we cannot earn or deserve salvation or eternal life, as in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and not of works, so that no one can boast." And in Romans 6:22, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus." And in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God has made salvation so simple that all you have to do is close your eyes and tell God, "I believe that Jesus died for me," and trust in him as my Lord and Savior. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to worship and study your word today. And we ask that you bless us with your loving grace and answer our prayers as we leave today. Please continue to heal Pastor John, and we ask you to hold us all in the palm of your hand till we meet again. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you all for coming. Hopefully we'll have Pastor back next week.